comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are and wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's a radio show where you actually matter. That's a fact. Don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do that. The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter. There are no strings attached. There's no reason not to be subscribed, and you can do it right now. Just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the link that says K-Files. Also, if you would like to be able to see the show as well as hear it, you can do so in our members area. Costs 23 cents a day. I know it's a magnificently expensive sum, but it's well worth it. 23 cents a day, that's less than that last cup of coffee you had. So if you want to see the show and be able to get into all the other stuff in the members area, tonight's a good night to join. Now, you know, for the past, for the past 2 years, we've been hearing a lot of whispers, a lot of rumors, and a lot of theories about an impending, unambiguous visit to Earth by extraterrestrials. As with all such rumors, there are some very critical questions that must be asked and answered, such as, is there any evidence for it? If there is evidence, what is that evidence? And what is the source of that evidence? How credible is it? These are important questions that have to be asked in any investigation. And I think certainly with something of this magnitude, they have to be asked and they have to be answered to the best of our ability. Tonight, we are, in fact, going to examine some photos that may be evidence, possible evidence. Now, after I do this and you see the photos, those of you watching on our TV channel, some of you may feel called of God to write in and tell me that, oh, that's, what we're looking at is this, it's that, it's so, okay, fine, not a problem. I don't know what they are, but we're going to look at them. They are something that, at least as far as I know, should not be where they are at the time they were photographed. And joining me in this will be Joe Montaldo, my guest. Joe Montaldo is the president of ICAR, which is the International Center for Abduction Research. They do UFO investigations. They do alien abduction investigations. They do paranormal investigations. ICAR is into a whole lot of stuff, pretty much spread out across the genre that we speak about. He'll join me here in just a moment, and we'll be back right after this. Thank you. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I stated, my guest this evening is Joe Montaldo. He's been with us before, and I had the privilege over the weekend of being his guest. He was guest hosting for someone who he was setting in for someone that hosts a show on his internet radio station. And so he was guest hosting, and he had me as a guest along with Jerry Pippin as a guest. So there's the three of us, and we really had a good time. And tell you what, it's always interesting when Joe is with us. Joe, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's always great being on with you. Yeah, we had a lot of fun Saturday. We crossed a bunch of topics, too, didn't we?
Oh, well, we did. It was kind of a free-for-all. But one of the topics we really didn't get to, and it's extremely important, and I want us to do that right here at the very front end of the show, and that is you're in New Orleans, and of course I'm I did most of my police career, well, all of my police career that I did in the United States, I did in Louisiana. So you and I are both Saints fans. And, you know, we just got to give a little bump to that. They are in the Super Bowl.
And, God, I'm still in shock over that one.
You and I have been Saints fans back when they were the Aints.
Oh, yeah. And the sad part is I thought they were going to be the Aints again yesterday, but somebody was watching it. Somebody up there. Somebody said, okay, look, man, 40-something years, that's enough. Give these guys a break.
Joe, let me tell you something. Years and years ago, before I was a cop, I owned an insurance agency, and I was very successful with it up in the Monroe, West Monroe area. And I went to a conference that was being sponsored by the one of the companies that I wrote insurance for. And they had as a speaker, you may remember him, Jim Peterzak, who used to play, I think it was a tight end, for the Saints. And after he left football, he opened an insurance agency, and he was one of the people that also had a contract with his company. So he was going to speak, and he got up and said, after they introduced him and talked about his, you know, NFL career and all that, he got up and said, well, I was going to show you some highlights from last year, but there weren't any. And that's the way it used to be with the Saints. You know, they've had some great players, but this is the first time they've really had a great season. And so I'm pleased as punch, and I know you are too.
Oh, I just couldn't get over it. When I was watching that last kick, I was thinking, when I was watching Favre drive down the field with 2 minutes to go, I'm thinking, oh, well, this game is over with. But my son, you know, I was thinking about him too. He also had season tickets. He was actually at the Dome. I'm thinking, man, he must be depressed. And all of a sudden it was interception. I'm like, uh-oh. And literally, it was so funny because you could just walk in a neighborhood last night after the game. Not only were people blasting fireworks up, but they were screaming at the top of their lungs out their windows. You're just driving down the street, people were screaming. You can hear them coming out the house. It was hilariously funny, but hey, if any city deserves a trip to the Super Bowl, it's this one. So hopefully, guys, look, it's only the Colts and the Saints. Peyton's already won one, so everybody got to get behind the Saints. This is Katrina City, people. I'm not feeling the love, I'm telling y'all. I'm not feeling the love.
Oh, my. You know, several years ago, I was in Romania the night the Romanian soccer team, they call it football, the night they beat England. And you talk about party time, man, the whole city just rocked. And it was unbelievable. So I bet it was kind of that way in New Orleans last night. And if the Saints win the Super Bowl, there's going to be all kinds of paranormal things happening in New Orleans. It's going to rock.
Well, it's funny because they were showing at halftime they were showing the French Quarter, and there was like two people on Bourbon Street. Not 5 minutes after the kick, Bourbon was so packed it looked like Mardi Gras. And by the way, we're in the Mardi Gras season now. So we've got the Saints and the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras coming up at the same time. The city's not going to be able to contain itself. It's going to pop an artery. Oh, Lord, I can't wait to see what happens this year. But, hey, it's a good year for it. The city needs to make some money. We're getting rid of our chocolate city mayor and getting somebody else. So,
yeah.
They're looking up, man.
Okay, Joe. And I wish, you know, you and I talked football this afternoon.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the Saints, I could go for hours and hours and hours. Because I am a Saints fan, I'm also a Cardinals fan. I'm Cardinals first and then Saints. There are other things we need to talk about here tonight in your capacity as the director or president of ICAR. You're involved in you investigate all kinds of reports of UFOs, alien abductions, paranormal activity, and we've got something that, you know, has been popping up here now for the past year and a half, 2 years, that I want us to talk about tonight. And that is the reports that we're going to be having some kind of near future, unambiguous visitation by extraterrestrials. Now, we reported on that, and we reported on it when it first came out. It was a February 2008, I believe. Might have been 2009. I'm an old guy and I forget things like that. But it was a meeting that took place in, is reported to have taken place in the UN building in New York. And this was a meeting in which a high-ranking U.S. Navy guy briefed people from about 30 countries on UFO reality, extraterrestrial reality, and in this meeting it was purported that he told them that there is going to be a visit by these extraterrestrials, and it's going to be unambiguous. They are just going to show up, and it's going to be kind of in your face, and that we need to start acclimatizing the world's population to the reality of extraterrestrials, because this is going to happen. Now, since that February meeting, we've reported on that. I've talked with Dr. Michael Sala, who wrote an article about it. And then I talked with the two guys who were the source of the information, Sean and Clay Pickering. Now, you know, they say they're not the source. The source is the Navy guy. But we don't know who that is. Okay? So, for public consumption, these guys are who we have to talk to. And we've talked to them. And they gave very good answers, very straight answers. Now, here's where I'm headed with this. Since then, I've gotten emails, I've gotten calls to the show here, where people are concerned about this. They want to know if there's been any update. Is there any new information about all of this? Have you run into this story out there? Have you run in, or are you running into people that are familiar with this and maybe even concerned about it?
Well, I've run into, this whole thing was just recently brought to my attention a few weeks back. A friend of mine sent me the YouTube video and said, "Joe, take a look at this." And I was like, "Really?" And then it was Carrie, somebody over Project Kim, like I had seen a video on it as well. And I'm like, "Well, let me sit down and watch it and see." And I find it interesting. See, my problem is being in the Navy myself, I have to take stock in the fact that right now the United States is at war. Treason in the United States is punishable by death during wartime. So if you're giving out crucial information or vital information at this time, you are actually putting your life on the line. So there can only be three possible explanations here. One, the guy is serious, but then it wouldn't make any sense why he wasn't coming forward, because coming forward, protect him at this point. The government found out at this point that he was doing it. They could just execute him without any questions. They just, well, you're treason. Sorry, dude, you just died. So if he was public, he would be safe. The only other explanations other than that is it's disinformation or just an outright lie.
Okay, well, there is another one, and that is, and there is another possibility, because their story is that he was ordered, he was acting on orders to conduct that meeting at the UN.
Well, see, if he's on orders, then he's safe all the way around.
And he was given permission to tell them limited information about what he was doing in order to get it out to the UFO community.
But then, first off, you'd have to ask them why they chose these guys, because I had never even heard of these guys before this, honestly. And this to me, I learned something a long time ago, especially in this field. When things seem or too good to be true, they're generally too good to be true. So I got to take all of this with a grain of salt and say, okay, they may be slipping us something, but what is it costing us while they're slipping it to us? Because it's like with Doty and a bunch of other things in the field I've seen over the years. You'll get some good information, but a lot of times it'll be at the expense of some really bad information as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, point I have to think. I mean, is it because, you know, and it takes me back to Dr. Stephen Greer, which I've had issues with over the last 2 years or so, maybe 3 years or so. It makes me wonder about all this information when I start hearing people talk about talking with high-ranking admirals or talking with people in the Pentagon or things along that. We were both in the military, Kevin. We know how hard it is if you want to talk to an admiral. And
well, let me clarify. I was not in the military. I was international police.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. But still, it's the same thing. I mean, if you want to talk to anybody, it's like I wanted to walk up and talk to a congressman and tell him I know I have vital information about UFOs. It's highly unlikely I'll even get an audience with a man. At best, I don't get put in jail for even bringing the subject up and going to the White House and bringing it up. I mean, going to Congress and bringing it up. So I get real skeptical because I find in this field especially, there are entirely too many deep throats, there's entirely just too many witnesses that can't be brought back to source. And so I get skeptical, and I hate to be...
Okay, now, let me give you some details you may not know.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. This particular source, they refer to him as Source A. They don't use his name in public, and they were not given permission to. But they were given permission to have his bona fides examined by some people. Okay. And it's my understanding that one of those people is Burns. From UFO hunters, but there were like four top name UFO investigators that did meet the guy. They looked at his bona fides, and they say he is what he claims to be. He is in a position where he could have access to that information. And so, you know, because of that, I'm not buying the whole bale of hay. But because of that, I have to step back and say, okay, well, this might be genuine. Now, I haven't talked about this story for, I don't know, it's been months. I haven't talked about it in months. And then I got an email that had a link to a video at YouTube. The video at YouTube was showing some NASA photographs that had been taken within just the last few days. And these photographs show some things that make me return to the story and say, I wonder if these photographs corroborate that story. Now, we're not going to get into the photographs until we come back from break, and we're about 3 minutes away from break. But you've been at this a long time, and you know how that works. You hear something and you sort of file it away in your mind and say, I don't know, I'm not sure about this. And then time goes by, something happens, some kind of evidence comes up that makes you return to that story and say, you know, does this fit? And I'm not saying that it does, but we're going to, in just a few minutes, take a look at these photographs. And for those of you who are listening on radio and you're listening on cell phones, you're listening on your computer, I'll describe the photographs for you. For those of you who are in our members area watching the show, you'll get to see the photographs. But these are NASA photographs, Joe. That's the source. You know, one of the things you have to ask about any evidence is, what's the source? And
well, no, I agree. And we'll talk about the photos when we get back. I took a look at them. I found some of them quite intriguing. I also took a good look at the video too while we were chatting earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I found that interesting as well. But I got the rest of them queued up somewhere waiting so we can look at them again. Actually, what I did is I popped them off there, dropped them into my paint job 8, and I'm going to blow them up while we're talking and see what we can see.
Yeah,
they looked really, really. The three that I've seen looked really. I couldn't give you a plausible explanation for what they were. I can tell you that. If the photos are legit, that's something substantial, and it's not a. Let's say like this, it might be as big as a planet, but I wouldn't think it was a planet. And I'll leave it at.
Well,
that.
Yeah, no. I think we can say pretty definitively, it is not the what people are about to see. It's not planets. Not planets at all. All right, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we'll put these pictures up for those of you who are watching, and I'll describe them for those of you who are not watching. So don't go away. But this is a good time also for me to say, if you're not watching, you could be, and all you need to do is just join our members area. All right? Join our members area, and... you will then have access to watch the shows live as well as delayed. You can watch the latest show that we've done. All right, we'll be back with Joe Montaldo right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening is Joe Montaldo, and we were talking about these photographs before we went to break, and I want to go to the photographs and share those with folks. Folks, what we are going to be looking at here were taken by NASA. These are NASA photographs of the sun. Now, what's on the screen right now is a title page that it is one of the photographs. But the title over it says, "Huge Spherical UFOs Started Appearing Around January 18th, 2010. They are on both the forward and rear images taken by NASA's Stereo spacecraft in space." All right, now the first photograph we're going to look at shows an object. It just looks metallic, and I don't know what else to say about it. This object is very close to the sun, and folks, if you compare the size of the sun to the size of the object, it looks roughly to be the size of Earth. Now, let's get a little closer view of this thing. And I've blown it up, and I've zoomed in on it, and my perception is it's not a sphere. It's elongated a little bit. If you can imagine a beer can the size of Earth, that's what it kind of looks like. What do you think, Joe?
Well, when I was, you know, that's the thing. I was looking at it blown up, and it's almost like I could see. It looks like something maybe coming off the edges or sides, or I don't want to say like antennas or anything, because it's probably much bigger than that. But it's almost like I could make out. You know, it does kind of look like a beer can on its side, with maybe some little tentacles. No, I don't want to say tentacles. It's something. Just seems to be protruding slightly from the side. That's the first time when I first looked at it, so I realized it wasn't a planet. It wasn't smooth or irregular. It wasn't even, you know, asteroid shaped. There just seemed to be some anomalies about the shape. It looks, for a better way of saying this, man-made.
Yeah, it appears to be manufactured. But now, this is not the only photograph. There are others. Let's take a look at... Now, in this photograph that I just put up, if you were looking straight on at the sun, this would be in the upper right-hand side of the sun in that picture. And there are two objects. And they're in the corona. They're, you know, I don't know. What we don't have anything that could withstand that heat, do we?
We don't have anything that got as close as the one we've seen, just the one before this. I mean, there's just, there's nothing we could get, would even get, actually, Kevin, I don't know if we got anything to get past Mercury, to be honest with you. From what I've seen of our technologies and understand of our metal and even ceramic technologies, we're nowhere near this kind of heat. I mean, there's just nothing we have that's going to... I always wondered how come we didn't dispose of our nuclear waste in the sun because we have nothing that would contain it. But then I realized we could never get it close enough to it before it would melt and just roam all over our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to wonder what that is, and if it's not, or I should say, not naturally occurring, something that is just in the solar system, which it really doesn't look like. And the pictures are legitimate, and it's not our government, then. It's a pretty much good sign that some advanced race or something advanced made it, because I just haven't seen anything like these that look like they're you know, naturally forming in our solar system. I've seen a lot of pictures of moonlets and asteroids and planetoids and planets, and I've just never seen anything quite in this shape and
mm-hmm.
big. And I'm agreeing with you. I'd have to say, I mean, without something to compare it by, but being how close it is to the sun itself, I'd have to say at least the size of Earth. I wish there was a sweep that where we could see like Mercury off to the side or something to give us an idea, but being how close it is, the sun's got to be huge, and especially if you got a photo of it, it has to be huge. I'm thinking at least the size of Earth.
The photograph that we're looking at right now has two objects in it. Now these are, I didn't zoom in on these as much, and so I really can't say if they are the same shape and configuration, and I really can't say that these are not planets, although I don't know of any planets in our solar system that line up that close to each other in the field of vision. In that same shot, in that same photograph, these two are on the right side of the sun, but on the upper left side of the same shot, there is another object, and it appears to be elongated rather than spherical. It appears to be roughly the same shape as that first one that I zoomed in on and got a pretty good close-up of it. There's just no way that one is a planet or an asteroid.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, and if it isn't, I mean, it comes down to, if it isn't, what is it and who put it there? Now, unless we've got technology far, far, far beyond what I've been led to believe, it's not us. And, it, you know, when you're looking at this one, which one am I on? I must be on the first one. Is this the second one? Oh, this is the second. It almost looks like, yeah, this must be the first one because there's only one in here. Because I want to go back to it. I was thinking about something when we clicked. I got the sense, I hate to say this, but when I'm looking at this photo, if you look at it head on, you see a shadow in the front and what looks to be a rise over the top of the center and what looks to be another rise in the back. It almost has, I hate to say this because I'm going to catch flack, but it almost has a submarine appearance look about it. I mean, in the way it's shaped. Because the sides even seem to be rounded, but on this one, there definitely seems to be something on top of it. Like there was something built on it. Okay, wait. How'd I get this thing to go to the next picture, Kevin?
Well, I've just been switching back and forth,
okay.
Between the...
I was wondering.
Yeah, the different views. This is what people are seeing now is the same thing, but not quite as zoomed in, as focused as what we were looking at. And you can see more of the sun, and you can see its relative size as compared to the sun. This thing is gigantic.
And that's the thing. I mean, if that's... I mean, it's hard to even judge distance on this, but that is a flare. Like, it looked like a flare of gas behind it. This thing is huge. I'm scared to even speculate on how big this thing is because it should not exist where it exists. It's not to say there couldn't be things up close and around the sun because it's quite possible that some kind of planet or something got up there. It's just, it doesn't look like this. And you know what bothers me?
Well, it's not shaped like a planet.
But you know what really bothers me about this?
What?
Shine on the upper right corner. That's a reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, reflections only come off of, you know, slick surfaces, so I don't know. And see, it's on this picture as well. But see, when I'm looking at this, it really does look like there's some kind of rise. It almost looks like a tank shape with a flag coming across the front and then a rise. Because I can see a gap between the roll and the top of whatever this thing is. And then in the very back, almost center of whatever this platform is, there seems to be another rise.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know what it is. And we still got to figure out, we got to get NASA to give us the original copies of these just for the sake of arguments on our side. But
well, you see the shape of this one. Now, this one, if we were looking at that same picture, is under the sun. Of course, in space, there is no up or down. But it, as the photograph lays, this is at the bottom of the photograph with the sun in the center of the photograph. So this is under the sun. Now, in the upper left-hand corner of that photograph, there is another object, and it appears to be elongated as well. But all of these are existing in that corona of the sun. They're all there in the corona of the sun.
And see, this is just kind of odd and weird to start off with, because see, when I'm looking at this one, it's hard to make out exactly what it is, because it seems to be when you see both of them there, and I don't know what distance taken from or what's even taking these pictures, you know, Kevin?
Yeah, they have a satellite. They call it. It has a stereo camera on it, and I always refer to it as a stereo satellite, and that's kind of its common name. But I'm sure it's got a NASA acronym.
Well, yeah, NASA got an acronym for everything.
Mm-hmm.
They can't help themselves. they can't. Come on, they come up with names as long as your foot. I'm like, come on, guys. You just got to wonder what they're up to sometimes. But
well, if this, we've been looking at these photos of whatever this is around the sun, and I told you folks right at the beginning of the show, I don't know what these are. Some astronomer may be able to say, okay, well, that one's Venus, and that one's Mars, and that one over there is Jupiter, and, you know, okay. But if that one we were just looking at, if that's Jupiter or whatever they say it is, I want some other pictures of Jupiter that show it looking like a beer can laying on its side, because it's just not shaped. Whatever it is we're looking at is not shaped like a planet. It's not shaped like a sphere at all. It's shaped like a beer can. that's laid over on its side. And then, as Joe was describing, toward the back of it, it's got a little raised area. And, you know, you can't really tell what that is, but it certainly doesn't look like a planet. And it doesn't look like an asteroid either, because, on the front of that thing, and I'm going to go back to the picture so folks can see as I talk about it. On the front of it, the end that's facing us, it is symmetrically circular, just like the end of a can is symmetrically circular. And I don't know, I just don't buy that is anything except manufactured. Now, who manufactured it, I don't know, or what it is, I don't know, but if it is as close to the sun as it appears to be in the corona of the sun. In the picture that's up there now, you can see the dark curved horizon of the sun above this object. And the filters show it as dark with some bright spots in it, but you see the curvature of the sun right above this object. So
you do too, right above it. You see what it even looks like, a flare or a jet. I don't want to call it a flare, but like a jet of gas or a jet of plasma or something.
Yeah, coming right at it.
Coming right up above it.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. We're going to try to figure out, does this confirm the story? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Joe Montaldo, and we're talking about a couple of things here. We're talking about the photographs that I just showed, that I just shared with you. But in addition to that, we're talking about the question, do these photographs corroborate the story that we heard about this meeting that took place over at the UN building in New York City? And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Certainly, I would say, Joe, if these are spacecraft, if that's what they are, they appear to be planet-sized, they appear to be Earth-sized. And if so, I would think that none of us here on this planet have built anything the size of this planet. Would you agree with that?
I would have to agree. I don't even know how we would populate something that size, especially the three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine anything that huge. I mean, it may not be 6 billion people on them, but I imagine they're big.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, unless everything's automated and it's a technology far beyond what we are, but you still got to wonder, what are they doing there? Or are they somebody living there and just hiding from us? Is it something someone's mining from our sun? Is that the reason we have global warming? All of these questions will come into play. It's bad enough. And then, you know, with this new thing about the Sagittarius and Red Dwarf Galaxy and all, it's all of this stuff keeps piling in. It's changing our whole understanding of our solar system, what's going on around it, and now we got things showing up in the corona of the sun, not including the regular visitations we have on the planet. You got to wonder what's up. And hopefully it's not anything bad, because, let's be honest, anything that size, I don't think we have a prayer to even try to even put a dent in it. I don't even think a nuke would hurt something like that.
Well, I would agree with you, but then if this thing at the UN is real, and if these things that we're seeing in the photographs are manufactured, as I suspect they are, I cannot say for sure that they are, but they appear to be. They don't appear to be a natural phenomena like an asteroid or something like that. So, you know, if they are manufactured, it would seem to sort of corroborate what was said at that meeting at the UN. It would seem to corroborate that that meeting took place and that the information that got out to the public about the meeting was accurate. Because if these things get over close to us, and you know, they, if it's Earth-sized, it can't get very close to the Earth.
The field to it, the gravitational fields would cause too much damage.
Mm-hmm.
It might not do them anything, but it would sure wreak havoc on our planet. Even the moon moving a little bit wreaks havoc on our planet. All you got to do is look at the rise and tide of the tides to understand the rise and fall of the tides will happen if anything gets real close to us. It's one of those things, but you got to wonder what they're there for, and then you got to wonder how long they've been there for.
Well, they started showing up in the photographs on January the 18th.
Yeah, but is that when they came out far enough for them to see us, or is that when they just thought? See, you got to wonder.
I mean, yeah, I don't guess there's any way to know.
And then you got to wonder how something that big gets into the solar system without being seen approaching the solar system. I can understand us missing, you know, 6 mile across rocks, but you know, something the size of a planet moving around in or near our sun, unless it's cloaked or something, I can't see how we're missing something that big. Or maybe that's why we're getting these pictures, because we know they're there, and now we're swinging around to get better shots at them.
Well, and there's always the possibility that there is some optical illusion happening here. There's always that possibility, because a camera doesn't give you depth of field. We were talking about football at the beginning of the show, and we're all familiar with what it looks like when they have that camera shot that's right behind the quarterback. You know, and the field looks very, very long. Or they put that camera shot from right behind the field goal kicker. It looks very long. But whenever they do that side shot, close up, the field seems to collapse. It doesn't look like it's that big. So you don't get depth perception out of cameras very well. You get some, but it's not really very good. So these things may not actually be in the corona.
Oh, no, I imagine they're out from it because of the flares, but I would, you know, because of the distance from when that one shot where you can see what it looks like to be plasma coming behind it, it's probably off mile wise. It's probably you know, a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand miles off the sun, but still in close enough that nothing from the naked eye or anyone on the planet is picking up. Because really, something that size, if it got too far out, you should see it pass by as a spot or something on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be detectable. So apparently they were staying just in, far enough out, I guess, so it's not destroying their ships, but far enough in that it was hard for us to see them, unless they just decided to come. And you know what? It might be like that Stargate Universe series. They might just be refueling.
Yeah, they might be. Now, the photograph that I have up now is a photograph that it's the one where there's two of them, and they're on the upper right side of the sun as it's presented in the picture. And the reason I put it up there is I said, you know, they may not actually be in the corona. And then I remembered this photograph. And that's why I put it up. Because we can see in this photograph, especially the object that's toward the top, seems to be causing a disturbance in the corona.
Yeah, it does.
So apparently they are in the corona.
Well, it's just because, yeah, I mean, these two right here, well, this one on the top definitely looks like it's pushing or waking or something. It's almost like they're at the very edge where the plasma is starting to separate from the field and stuff. Because when you look at the sun itself, I mean, you can see the nice roundness and the flame, and then you can see another layer where it looks to be orange and then the green. And then right on the edge of where I guess it's rippling out into the rest of the galaxy or the rest of the solar system. you can see it seems to be indented or
mm-hmm.
See, what bothers me is that's actually a pretty big field if that's as big as what we think it is. When you look at that dimple there, that's a fairly big field there. There should be some kind of distortion.
Yeah.
It's almost like it might be in far enough, too, that it's not creating a complete, you know, a wave effect behind it. That's what I was looking for.
Now, the one that we were talking about that looks like a beer can laid on its side, it appears to be in very close to the sun. It's not way out on the edge of that cloud of energy coming off the sun. It's in pretty close.
Yeah, it does. It looks to be right up on it. It looks to be right there. But it's so hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because next to the sun, we know it's huge, but next to the sun, it's just any bitty, titty, witty little thing. And it's just so hard to tell. But I do like that one photo because you can see depth precession around whatever that craft is or whatever it actually is. You can actually see there's some kind of, you know, you can see the roundness and even the breaks in the top. So it helps give it validity. It definitely isn't a planet. It's definitely not an asteroid or a meteorite. So we got to wonder what all of that is. All of that comes into play when you're looking at that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
But being that close, and again, it goes back to, I still don't see how the damn thing got that close to us without anybody seeing it.
Well, we don't know that nobody saw it.
Yeah, that's true. That is an assumption on my part because they may have seen it. I just don't know. I mean, I know we got all these hundreds of amateur astronomers out there, thousands of them actually, and some fairly good ones. But I guess if you're not looking in that part of the sky at that time, especially at the sun where you're using filters and stuff, you're just not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we're probably not looking 24/7. It's one of the things I got to look at and go, what the blank is this?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here?
If what we're about to see, let's go back to that meeting and that story that we heard out of the meeting, which is an unambiguous presence. Now, if that is about to happen, they may need some planet-sized motherships to pull that off. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Yes, indeed, it is the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Joe Montaldo. And Joe is the president of the International Center for Abduction Research, ICAR. They investigate UFO sightings, they investigate alien abduction reports, they investigate paranormal reports, and what we're talking about here this evening has to do with this report that came out of the UN. Let me rephrase that. This report that came out about a year and a half ago, something like that, that purports that there was a meeting at the UN building. It was not a regular UN meeting. It was a meeting that took place at the UN building. And ostensibly, what came out of there was that the U.S. briefed other nations. There were representatives from about 30 nations. And they briefed them that extraterrestrials are real, they really are visiting the planet, and there's going to be an unambiguous visitation. And we need to get people on the planet ready to think about that. Joe, there's something else that I wonder. You were talking about what effects these things may have, these things we're looking at in the pictures, what effects they may be having on the Earth. I wonder if they're big enough that they could cause enough disruption on Earth to cause this bunch of earthquakes that's been going on.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they are, son. I don't know what kind of disruptions they're causing or what they were doing when they were coming through. I know I'd be worried about them helping to heat up the planet, though, if they're there. And I know a bunch of new stuff's coming out all about that. So let's look at it like this. The last decade has probably been, at least as far as I've been alive, it's probably been weather active more than any previous decade I've been alive, except for maybe the year that Camille hit. Other than that, I mean, it's been weird weather.
Mm-hmm.
We get this really, you know, come on, Louisiana went in a drought for, 10 years?
Yeah.
Now, a drought to us is, of course, 50 inches a year, but still, guys, that's a drought to us. We're used to seeing 70 inches of rain, and we just weren't getting it. Now, then, all of a sudden, Katrina comes along. Of course, Katrina gave us 5 years worth of rainfall in 2 days, but the fact of the matter is those happened, they were drastic. And then all of a sudden, you know, I've been hearing global warming, but last winter was pretty cold. This winter has actually been nastier. So it just seems like there's something going on out there, and are this part of it, or maybe are these things monitoring this red dwarf galaxy we're approaching? It's what are they doing is what I really would want to know. And I'm assuming they're not hostile because we're still here. You know, that's a leap of faith there, because I could be wrong. They might just be waiting for some more pieces of a little puzzle.
Well, certainly they're not hostile yet.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
the way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, tell you what I want to do. I'm going to open the telephone lines and allow our audience to participate. The telephone line, the main number, and this number will work all over the world, all right, and even on Nibiru. All right, so here it is. This is the main number to the studio, 623-444-5889. Of course, if you're dialing internationally, that's the country code is 1-623-444-5889. If you're in the U.S. or you're in Canada and you need to call me on the toll-free line, you may do so. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you may send me a flash message, and you can do that very easily. All you have to do is go over to my website, scroll down, and under Joe's photograph, you'll see a link that says flash message. So just click that link and send me your question or your comment. Okay, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Joe. This is Mark from New York.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to maybe reason on this a little bit. These craft are enormous from the pictures that I can see here. And I would think that any type of technology that, that was capable of producing a craft of this size would not be using the physics that we're aware of to both travel through space and to park themselves in a near Earth orbit, for example. And what I mean by that is for example, I'm speculating, they may be slipping out of this dimension somehow. Because if you consider the possibility that a craft of that size moving through space with all the junk that's in space wouldn't survive a high-speed transit across even a small portion of space. Just the debris that would be hitting something that large would probably take it apart. So my feeling has always been that these craft are not using physics that we understand. So I doubt very much that that they're going to have any effect on the Earth and the Earth's, whether we have, you know, earthquakes or any type of, you know, Earth catastrophes. I think they have an understanding of physics that we're not aware of. What do you think of that?
Oh, I'm sure they do to build something that big. I'm sure they have a much faster understanding of physics than we do.
Yeah, but Mark, are you looking at your computer monitor now? Hello, Mark? He went away. Okay. What I was going to say is, if you're looking at your computer monitor, if you're watching us on KSS TV, what you can see is this photograph where the two objects are near to each other. One of them, the one at the top, is creating a disturbance of some kind, it appears, in this field of energy coming off of the sun. So, I'm not sure, maybe it can generate force fields big enough that it could cause some kind of disturbance on Earth, because it appears to be causing a disturbance in that energy field coming off the sun, and that's got to be powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Well, all right. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, something's got to be protecting the ship. I mean, anyway it goes, anything that close to the sun is under heat and pressure that we wouldn't understand or even at this point can't even comprehend, because we can't figure out how to do anything about it. But it could be creating waves. See, my problem with all even advanced aliens are is in a lot of ways they're still going to be like us. Occasionally they're going to do stuff because, you know, they haven't met a species like ours before, or they haven't been in this situation before, that it can cause a problem before they realize what happened.
That could be, yeah.
You know, because I watch our own scientists, and I hate to compare advanced races to us because we're still babies, but, you know, a lot of our scientists have the best intentions at heart, and they are not trying to cause problems, but from time to time they really, really do. And it's no malice intended towards anybody, it's just the way it happens to work out. So even in advanced races, I don't rule out the occasional error or mistake, because, you know, like the bumper sticker says, stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of says that. Okay, let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky. Hello to both of you.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I had a friend call me, and I take his information is spot on. And these photographs that you're showing, they're planet-sized objects, of course, and if you notice that the same size objects have been photographed in the rings of Saturn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Norman Bergen wrote a book called The Ringmakers of Saturn, and people should read this book to get a bird's eye of what's actually going on. These things have been observed by the Millennium Group and other groups for over 10 years in the sun's field, just like it is now. And what they're doing there is taking energy off of the sun, and this, in effect, is protecting the Earth from the sun's CMEs. And I would suggest that, again, you know, that anybody that wants to really know what these things are, read this book, because these are not ETs. The ETs call these guys the hand of God. And so... So
who are they then?
They are the ones that were put here millennium ago, way back. They've been here for millions of years. And the ETs stand in awe of them, as I said. So they're what you might say co-creators. Ones that helped get this place started.
Okay.
And they're protecting us even today.
All right.
I know you've talked about Dr. Norman Bergen before, and I'm not sure. Didn't you have him as a guest?
No, but we have discussed his work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are the ones that he was referring to. And rather than me sort of slaughter this and badger it up too much, I would prefer just to let everybody find the books and read them themselves.
Okay. Well, Mike, we appreciate the suggestion.
Okay.
Thanks much.
I'll get off here so others can get on.
All right. Thank you much.
Tell them put it on audio if they want me to see it. I tell these people that always call me about sending me their book. I said, I'll tell you what. So if you want me to read your book before you come on my show, send it to me in an audio CD. I say, because if not, it's not going to happen. Because, frankly, I just got too many things going on.
All right. Rude about it,
but, you know, that's how it is.
Well, yeah, it's very, very busy. All right, back to the phone lines. Kevin Palmer is giving us a call from Canada. Are you surprised that I knew that, Kevin?
Well, you got caller ID. Of course you know that.
Normally, I have it covered up because I have my notepad standing in front of it. But my notepad slipped down just as your call came in. And so I saw who it was.
Well, yeah, well, hello there, guys. Hello there, Joe. And hello to everybody on Pal Talk. I know a lot of them are listening in tonight. You know, I've got a challenge for a lot of the young astronomers out there. Joe, I don't know if you might want to go along with it. You know, these things like these photographs that we see in that picture, and that's an amazing photograph. It blew my mind away, mind you. And, you know, not much surprises me anymore. But, you know, I think, what would you say if we get some of the amateur astronomers, guys, I don't trust NASA, you'll never get any truth out of those guys. You know, get some young astronomers a little bit of a challenge, you know, to actually hunt for these kind of objects in the solar system, to actually, and perhaps even use Richard Hoagland's, you know, his hyperdimensional physics model as a starting point to maybe target certain areas like around certain planets for possible anomalies like this. Do you think that would be a good challenge?
Well, you there's a new program called Wise Me, I'm gonna have to go get it off the thing, but you can actually join this and suggest, like on Mars, where you want them to take photos of. And they'll take high resolution photos, and when they get them, they'll send you an email, let you know they got them, and you can go over them. It's cool as hell. It really is. It's a nice little program. Actually, a loyal listener sent me the link about a week ago, and I've been having a ball with it. And there's a lot of the photos there you can go look at, but it's nice that you suggest, because the first thing I did was suggest reshooting the Sedona region on Mars, along with several other places on Mars I'm interested in, and also some areas where we've seen the glass tubes. I've asked them if they revisit some of these areas with these high-resolution cameras to see if we can get a better idea of what we're looking at. We'll see if they adhere to my wishes, but hey, it's a cool little program. And you know, there's another program out there, too, that lets you, if you want to volunteer and help, you can help age the craters of Mars and other planets, for that matter, for NASA. It's kind of cool, guys. They got a lot of neat stuff out there these days.
Yeah, sure. And also, what would you say to give an explanation for a lot of these anomalies that are in our solar system and even our own planet? You know, Graham Hancock, he likes to look back in our ancient past and postulates that perhaps we were once very highly advanced at one time, and some solar system-wide cataclysm had happened at one time and almost wiped everything out. Is it possible that a lot of these UFOs and everything may actually be remnants of this ancient civilization that managed to escape, and they've been maybe custodian over the civilization that managed to survive?
Well, anything is possible, but now we're talking in time schemes so vast that, 63 million years ago would have been the last change of the planet, so by now you would have figured they would have reestablished themselves and had things going quite well, and may from time to time, or even keep a colony here to keep an eye on what's going. But for the amount of activity that's actually reported, like what we're talking about with these suns, like the activity down in Mexico, the activity being seen in the United States, but if you take just the last 10 years of UFOs and movements around the planet, the activity far exceeds any normal agendas, I should say. There seems to be, especially lately, there seems to be like they've increased their activity. There seems to be a rush to what they're doing. It's like they're anticipating something. What bothers me about these shots, to be honest with both of y'all, is 2011 is supposed to be the highest recorded ever solar flares in the history, in the last 2 million years. They're actually talking about flares that can actually brush the planet. Now, these are things that I don't hear NASA readily talking about, but if you go out and find the information, it's out there, and it's even on the NASA sites and the European Space Agency site, about how large these flares can actually be at the end of 2011. Now, maybe these guys are here to watch it. Maybe these guys are here to stop it. Maybe they're going to put up some kind of shield for the planet, but and the stuff that they're talking about, really, if it even gets to be half of what they've speculated about, it's going to change life on this planet for everybody in ways that none of us even want to think about. So maybe that's what they're there for. I don't know. But I know things like this 2011 activity hasn't been being discussed hardly anywhere. Even the alternative media hasn't been really touching it. Oops.
Well, yeah, but we have here. On this show, we have talked about the fact that the 2011 going into 2012 is supposed to be really, really a monstrous time for sunspots and solar flares. And so we have talked about that. But, you know, the thing about that is even those scientists are baffled because right now it ought to be building up and the sun is almost totally quiet. It has almost no sunspots, and they're baffled.
I heard one of the administrators at NASA call this the quiet before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's right, maybe he's not. Problem is I know they were doing ice core samples that date back 200,000 or 300,000 years, and they did find a lull just before they found activity. And some of the activity they found in these cores definitely suggested not only did it lap the planet, but it actually caused major climate change and major fires on the planet. So what scares me about this the most is if it gets hot enough to cause fires, then there's enough radiation here to kill the people, not including the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there may be only one spot on the planet, and it may only last for a few seconds, but who's going to be affected, how long it's going to affect that area is going to be. But then again, it could be like everything else, Kevin. I've been listening to Doomsday since I was born now, and I was just 47 the other day, so I'm thinking, 2012 is another one of those. I mean, I survived 2000 and 2003 and 2001 and 84 and 99 and a few others in between there. and remember, I don't know if you remember this number, when I was a kid, they were talking about the Ice Age was coming back.
Well, I got news for you. 2 weeks ago, scientists released information that, in fact, we are in an ice age. We're in the beginning of one, and it's going to last for the next 20 years, in spite of the fact that we have Al Gore telling us there's global warming. We have scientists telling us that we are entering an ice age. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Petersound.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I agree with Mark. I think that if you're going to travel vast distances of space, even the smallest grain of, like a smallest rock pebble would tear a hole through your ship. But anyways, my question for Joe is, you've documented thousands of contactee cases, and you're probably one of the most premier researchers for that. Have any of your contactee reports described anything similar to this as far as with the sun and stuff like that? Do you can think of? I'll just take it off you.
Well, they talk about big ships, and they talk about things along those areas, and I got to say, most of the contactees we deal with, if they do have a Holocaust dream or something along those lines, it's not really pertaining to something to do with the sun or along anything like that. It's usually... I don't want to say it's like a war or anything, but it really pertains more along maybe like a pandemic or something along those lines. And I could be wrong. I mean, we're only interpreting what contactees are telling us, so it could be something else, and that's just the way it came out interpreted. So we got to be careful there. But it seems to be that. But they do talk about it. And I have to be honest about this. I mean, I literally have more than probably 3,000 or 4,000 contactees on file that talk about ships the size of our planet. And this is one of the things that turned me on the poor Nuriburu crowd. When I started realizing when they retranslated the Sumerian text and it said, and when they started calling it a sphere and they said it was about the size of our moon and it was in orbit with us at the same time, told me right then and there it couldn't have been a planet 3 to 5 times the size of Earth, because of course it would have killed everybody here if it got that close to the planet. But something large, like a mothership like the size of the moon or larger, could have parked near Earth and got into a synchronous orbit and went around and not caused any real major damage. So I got to thinking about these things, and from based on them, some other stuff besides not just these photos, I've seen some other photos that show craft of a size that frankly it's hard to imagine. But now remember this when y'all talk about debris hitting these things. These things are made out of materials that, frankly, guys, we're just not even going to understand. I doubt anything, even at above light speeds, I doubt anything would even damage these things remotely. And more than likely, they probably have things like deflector shields and stuff like that to deflect the debris away from their hulls.
Well, what if the moon? What if the moon is one of these things?
The hollow moon theory. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I've heard a lot of. Now, I've actually heard pings of the moon. I can honestly say that on a couple of occasions I've actually heard the moon be pinged, and on two occasions it did sound like it was hollow, but it doesn't mean that's what it was. It could have been any kind of interference in between here and there. I don't know, and I'm not willing to say, because the moon always has been a little leery for everybody, including our own scientists, in the way it acts and its total mass. Its size versus its mass isn't quite right. There's a lot of things about the moon that just doesn't seem to add up. How it got there, originally they said that it was where the Pacific Ocean was, and it was, half the size of Earth, and it broke off and sheared, and I don't know.
All right. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Joe Montaldo. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Okay? Now, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Just go to my website, scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message, all right, and you can send it to me. All right, Joe, we do have a couple of flash messages I want us to get to. This one from Blue in Australia. And hi, Mr. Kevin Smith and Mr. Joe Montaldo, thank you for your service. Mr. Joe Montaldo, do you think the objects around the sun image, which is being posted on the internet, could be caused by meteors and sun flares when they come into contact?
Oh, okay. Now, anything, I'll say this and I say this all the time, anything is possible. In this case, I would think it was highly unlikely. Whatever this is, first off, because of the way it's sitting, appears, and I use the word appears, to be under intelligent control. Secondly, the shape of the individual objects, they do have, I hate to say it, kind of a submarine look to them, with a smooth rounded sides and a flat top and something in the back that's protruding, along with something on top of that I've actually blown it up some more. So unless it's just some kind of freak, and I could say maybe one, but we're talking four here right off the bat. So for me, what's most important about all of this is obviously something of the intelligent design. So all we need to know from this point is a way to authenticate the photos beyond any reasonable doubt, and then this goes into the files for evidence, and what comes out of it will depend on all the investigators that get involved. So it's really what needs to be done, because by looking at the photos, I have to say there's something legitimately there. And even in the photos where you can see that's in the corona and you can see the smoothness of the blips, the simple fact that it's distorting the sun's plasma stream that much tells you it is something of a serious massive size. You're not going to get a disruption of the plasma stream by a little pebble being out there, or a little rock, or even something the size of Mercury is probably not going to make that look. So you have to take all of that in consideration. Asteroids, frankly, and meteorites, even comets, aren't going to get that close to the sun, because if they do, they get sucked in immediately, and of course, they're just debris. And the odds are that we got four of them entering the sun at the same time. That's we're getting kind of reaching there.
Yeah.
We're really reaching there.
Yeah.
But there are some things that need to be authenticated, and I won't deny that. But from what I've seen so far, I'd have to say, unless these photos turn out to be a hoax, I'd have to say that is something physically real there that warrants a much seriouser look at. Dang, couldn't get that out.
Okay, Blue's second question is, Mr. Kevin Smith, when will you have Mr. Dick Criswell back on? Soon, Blue, soon. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hello, Charles.
Charles.
Good evening.
Out there in New Mexico, huh?
Yeah, out here in New Mexico, getting a little snow.
Well, Charles, did you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Well, I heard you and the guest and Jerry Pippin the other night holding forth in a little tete-a-tete.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting and...
Fine.
I remember wishing it was a call-in show, but I can't remember what my question was.
Well, it will be next time. Kevin and I and Jerry talked about this after the show, and we will take questions next time. Frankly, guys, I'll make this real quick because this isn't the topic, but I really know how the show is going to go. You're talking about three of the largest internet radio shows out there, especially in the fields that we're in, and you know, these are three fairly decent-sized egos. We had to make sure they weren't going to be a problem. But yeah, if you can think of it, sure, call us, let us know, man, or write to us. We'll answer it on the air for you. We all three are willing to do that.
Well, as Kevin says, it's a talk show.
Yep. It is.
I'll give you a sneak preview. I already talked to Kevin and Jerry about this, and it's going to be me and Kevin and Jerry, Angela Joyner, and D. Andrew from Eye to the Sky. We're going to do a five-way, and we're going to open up the second half of the show entirely up for questions. So there you go.
That should be very interesting.
It should be a lot of fun.
Well, as far as these photos you got up tonight, as usual, I have to sharpen up my Occam's razor a bit and point out that we really can't tell much from photographs, and it could be just a coincidence that one of those objects appears to be affecting the corona, the others don't, and mm-hmm. You think that if one would, they all would.
Well, it depends on what that one is doing. The others may not be powering up to go somewhere, and maybe that one is, or maybe that one is just arriving. We don't know. See, that's the thing. All we know is that we're looking at some kind of objects, and they appear to be near the sun, and if they are as near the sun as they appear to be, then they're huge. That's the only thing we really can say about these. Everything else is speculation.
Yeah, they would be planet-sized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, now the one that appears to be very near the sun is the one I said looks like a beer can turned over on its side, and it's the one Joe has been saying appears to him to be sort of shaped like a submarine. Now it appears to be near the sun. It seems to not be too questionable about that. But what is it?
I'm sorry. It's in higher resolution. It looks to me like it's in a little higher resolution than the background, than the disk of the sun you can see above it.
That would be based on the filters that are on the camera and the focus of the camera. So maybe the camera is focused on trying to get that thing.
It definitely appears to have depth. And it looks like there's a reflection of light off the right side of it.
Yeah.
It does. That reflection, that's one of the things that's kind of bugging me. Oh, and to the person who just wanted to know what sub I thought it looked like, if you've ever seen the submarine off of Red October, that's what it looks like to me. Just in a much larger scale. So, to give y'all an idea. Because I kept people saying, like a Trident or like a... I'm like, no. I kept getting the IMs wanting to know what kind of sub it was. It does, guys. To me, it does look like that. It's got that double rounded sided thing with the great deck on the top with the lift in the back. I know that's not what it is, but it's got that look.
Kind of got that shape. But, you know, Charles, one thing it doesn't look like to me, it doesn't look like a sphere.
No. It looks like a structured object.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, here's a possibility. About two weeks ago, India sent up a fleet of satellites for the purpose of observing the sun.
Well, there you go.
The thing is, are they able to send something that can get that close and not burn up?
Well, if it were that close, we wouldn't be seeing it. I mean, India can't create something that large, but it would have to be an object between here and the sun that we're just seeing, and it just appears to be close.
The photograph I've just put up is the one that shows two of these objects, and with one of them that appears to be making some kind of disturbance in this plasma field around the sun. When you look at that, they very definitely appear to be in that plasma field.
It's hard to say, right? It could be a coincidence, because you can see that's the edge of the plasma field,
mm-hmm.
and it is breaking up a bit there. That could be an eddy in the background of that object, and it just could happen to be positioned where it looks like it's affecting the corona, because the other object doesn't appear to be affecting it the same way.
Well, they both appear to be have a bow wave to the right side of them. You see how it looks like a cloud that's pushed up? They both appear to be affecting it, but the one at the top appears to be affecting it more.
It's hard to tell, because I see another shadow if the other little object was positioned correctly, you might say it was affecting the corona as well, but it's not positioned near it. So I'm thinking it's likely to be a coincidence.
Yeah, it may be.
Rockham says.
Well, yeah, and look, like I said, it's all speculation, except for the fact that there are objects up there that are in these pictures. That we can say. They are there in the pictures. Whatever else we can say about it is speculation. And back to the photograph now of the one that Joe says is shaped like a submarine. This one is close enough. It's a close enough shot that we can see a little bit of its shape. Now, for those who are listening, and you can't see this, it's a little fuzzy. It's a little, you can't really be sure what you're looking at. But one thing I think you would agree with, though, Charles, is that doesn't appear to be an asteroid.
No, it doesn't appear to be an asteroid. But it, as I said, appears to be some sort of structured object. And I have a hard time believing that it is right next to the sun as it appears in the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly could be way in the foreground.
It could be. Now, if it is as close to the sun as it appears to be in this photograph, it's planet-sized.
Yeah.
But as I said, with cameras, you lose depth of field.
Exactly.
And so there may be, There may be hundreds of thousands of miles between this object and the sun.
Well, we could probably figure it out. I mean, all we got to do is find out the distance that the camera is placed from the sun itself, and then that'll tell us how large this object actually is. Because if it is, and you can get it in a field, put it like this: a camera taking a shot somewhere on the flip side of Venus, even at the sun. In order to pick up something like that in a small field camera, it still has to be pretty huge. It might not be Earth size. Any way it goes, this thing would have to be somewhere between 5 miles and 500,000 miles, depending on what its relative position is to the sun. But I doubt those cameras are going to pick up anything smaller than that. It just doesn't seem like it would be. I mean, they're not designed to pick up small asteroids or meteors crashing across the sun's path, because that happens every day, and we're not seeing it in any of these films. So it has to be pretty big in order for the camera actually to pick it up. That's what we really need to find out, of where the distance from the camera and the sun actually is, and that'll give us a much better idea. What it is, the fact that it's got a shine to it tells me that the surface itself is slick, some type of metallic surface, something reflective, because it definitely has a reflective ability to it, at least on that one side. And then again, too, I'd like to know what the source of light is for the reflection.
Well, I would think it would be the sun.
Well, I would be, but if it's moving towards the sun, it wouldn't be the sun. If it's moving away from the sun, it would be the sun.
Hey, okay, we have to go to a break, guys. Charles, thank you for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Okay, we are on Final Approach, and my guest is Joe Montaldo. When we went away for break, we were talking about that reflection off of the object, and you said it wouldn't if it was flying away from the sun. It would if it's as close to the sun as it appears to be.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which way it was moving,
mm-hmm.
But
well, it's turned away. It's turned towards the camera, slightly at an angle towards the camera. If it was far away from the sun, it should not be reflecting.
Yes,
if it's as close to the sun as it appears to be, then it would be, because you would have sunlight everywhere.
And dependent on its tilt, it's where its shine should be. So because it's a nice big sphere we're talking about on the sun itself. That's what I was wondering, because if it was anywhere, say, even as far out as Mercury away from the sun, you're not going to get, unless it's on a direct, you know, in a direct course to the sun, you're not going to get that shine. And this thing just doesn't look, and then, of course, if it was near Mercury, it wouldn't be near as big, so you wouldn't get the shine anyway.
Yeah.
It does suggest that it's closer, but it's hard to say. I mean,
yeah,
it could be something moving on a parallel that we just can't tell, and that's why it's picking up the sun and it's looking the size that it is. But like I said earlier, I just don't see those little cameras picking up anything too small.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out what, you know, I guess we could just write and find out. It's probably online somewhere. You know, what's the smallest object these cameras can pick up? Because, frankly,
well, they can pick up delta-shaped spacecraft, because SOHO does it.
Yeah, see, but even that, we don't know how small they are. I mean, they're still pretty big, I would imagine.
Yeah, and they're not flying right up next to the sun either. We've got a flash message I need to deal with, and then we have a caller on hold.
Yeah.
The flash message says, can anyone see the same images from the SOHO, which is the Solar Space Observatory? And that's from Rob in Australia. I don't know. These just came out, so I don't know. That would be a good thing to find out. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
I've done a lot of photography, and as you mentioned, depth of field can definitely fool people. And to me, it looks like this, the one that looks like the sub or the beer can or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without lowering the millimeter size of the lens and how far it is from the lens, you can't judge.
No, you can't. No, what I'm going by is the reflection.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it could be a molten blob of something that was 5 feet from the camera. But, you know, that's just me. I'm a little bit skeptical about it.
It might be a beer can. A Coca-Cola can that was kicked out of the shuttle.
And it would probably be melted if it was that close to the sun, so
yeah.
It'd just be blob.
But
I'm watching this video of this thing, and I don't know. See, this one, the way it looks when you're looking at it from, and then see this one in the middle right here. It's my problem here is you've got four of them, and they seem to be positioned.
I'm going to put all four pictures up. Okay? I'm going to do them one at a time while you're talking, Joe.
Yeah, if it was just one, I could probably say, okay, it's some kind of anomaly. Either it's a problem with the camera, or it's something we're looking at a distance, or something along those lines. But it's I was watching scanner from the one from the left up across, and there's one in centered. It just looks like they're positioned. Now, that picture right there, when I'm watching this camera, I mean, I can see the half the body of the sun, and I can still see this thing. So in relative position, it can't be that far out from. It can, don't get me wrong, it'd still be a good ways out, but not still be noticeable to a camera if it's too little. Plus, it has that shine to it, which has kind of got me wondering a little bit what exactly it is. I don't know. I find it interesting. What it means yet, I guess it's going to be open for debate for some time to come, unless somebody comes out and says, hey, these are ET craft, and they're a scout in our moon or a sucker of energy or what have you. But until such a time as that, you got to take it for what it is. It's some interesting photos, and there's going to be some skepticism skepticism to them. But what I'm going to do, and I'll have to get with Kevin about this in the near future. I'm going to go ahead and get some of our investigators on it, see if we can dig up some of the sources of the photos, the actual cameras, what the distance are, what we can expect. And we'll have a little better grasp of what's going on with this, because it's an interesting photo. And even if it's not as close as it appears to be, I'd still like to know what it is and why the cameras are picking it up so clearly if it's well off the sun. So for me, it's significant either way. Unless it's an absolute fake, it's significant to me either way, because these things are big enough for a camera to pick up. And remember, if it's not in the sun, because the sun would be lighting them up, if it's far away from the sun and it's an optical illusion, then you should not be getting the kind of light reflection and the kind of light that you're actually getting. Or in that one where it looks like it has corona or plasma interaction. I can't see interaction at any real distance. It has to be pretty close. So I'm going to keep an eye out for them and get the guys and the girls that work for iCar to take a look at them and see what they can dig up, because they love this kind of stuff. And we'll see what they find. And when I find out, I'll drop Kevin a line and we'll let everybody know.
All right, Ricky, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think it's important, folks, to kind of note what we're saying and maybe not what you wish, okay? Some of you, and I'm not taking you to school here. I'm just pointing out that at this point, I think it's really important to note what we're saying. Some of you may wish, okay, I wish and I want to believe these are ET craft. Some of you, you may want to believe that these are some kind of natural phenomena, or it's other spacecraft that NASA has put up, and they're all very far away from the sun. But note what we're saying. What we're saying is it's interesting. All that we can say for sure is there are objects in this photograph that don't appear to be natural phenomena, like planets, etc. And we really, everything else is speculation at this point.
Speculation.
But yeah, there's no way we can say that these are planet-sized spacecraft. What I have said is, if that's as close to the sun as it appears to be in this picture, it is planet-sized, okay? But we don't know that. We don't know how far away from the sun it actually is. But you made a good point, Joe. You made a very good point when you said, the one that shows interaction with that corona, with that plasma. That photograph that shows that interaction with this plasma around the sun. It can't be all that far away from the sun if it is interacting with that plasma. But we don't know that either.
No, we don't, and it's going to be checked on more. But they're interesting photos any way you look at them. They're kind of cool to look at. I'm with you. I mean, we can't just jump and say they're ET craft. But guys, let's put it this way. If they turn out to be real, and they are where we think they are, well, then they can only be. But we haven't got that far yet, so let's not jump to conclusions. Let's see what it turns out to be, And I would like to learn more about the cameras and get a better understanding about that, because I learned a long time ago, if you're going to analyze photos, you need to know what camera it was taken by.
Well, you do, and you need to know its distance from the sun as well.
Yeah, and that I think is a key point. Once we know what the actual distance is, then we can say, okay, it can only be something this big, because simply the camera is not going to pick up anything smaller, and it can only be this large because, as we noticed, it's not getting the whole, well, yeah, I guess it does get the whole sun, but I guess because it's zooming in and out. But still,
yeah, and that's important. The original photograph does show the entire sun, and what we've done is zoomed in on parts of that photograph to show these objects.
So I'm thinking somewhere near Venus, maybe, relative orbit.
Well, I'll tell you what, as usual, I don't watch the clock well. And we've run to the end of the show. The music's taking over, and it's kicking me and Joe Montaldo off the air. So, Joe, thanks for being with us. Folks, click his picture. It'll take you to the iCar site. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.